MathCast. Mathematics for the masses. Hello, this is Dan Bach, and it's time for Dan's MathCast, my math podcast. Welcome once again. I must say, it's really different recording these podcasts while you're working full time. I realize this is a day or two late, and I apologize, but here we go. Show number 5, January 26th, 2006. Well, they said it couldn't be done, mathematics on the radio. Yet, thousands of people have downloaded Dan's MathCast. There are a lot of auditory learners out there, but whatever your particular learning style, it's good practice to think about things that you hear. Just like the good old days of radio soap operas. As you may know by now, this show has several regular features, Math for the Masses, Chapter of the Week, an advanced topic, and an email bag, and this time, a new feature, the Math Hall of Fame. Remember, email your comments, questions, suggestions, or jokes to podcast@dansmath.com. You can even attach an audio file, and I might play it on the show. Here's what's coming up on today's show. Here on show number 5, we're going to talk about chapter 5 of Bach and Leitner's pre-algebra book, Variables and Expressions, on Mathematics for the Masses, GCDs, and LCMs. I'll tell you what those are in the feature. A new feature on this show, the Mathematics Hall of Fame. This time we look into Archimedes. After the email bag and a study secret, we'll go into our advanced topic of the week, basic group theory. And of course, we always end with a math joke. Know your podcaster. This is your fearless podcaster, Dan, of dansmath.com. A couple of comments first on the last show. I had a slight overlap of sounds, and it bugged me, so I replaced the audio file. I also noticed on one of the old shows the album art was missing, so I fixed that up. You might want to re-download all 4 shows just for fun. Also, I mentioned I have some animations and Mathematica work that I want to put up as a video podcast. I've heard some negative comments on other podcasts of mixing video and audio feeds, so please let me know what you think about that, podcast@dansmath.com. And now, on to the math part of our show. Dan's Chapter of the Week. Well, we're moving right along, Chapter 5 of Bach and Leitner's pre-algebra book, Variables and Expressions. If you haven't heard the first 4 shows, and you like to learn things sequentially, I'd suggest going back to the first 4 podcasts and listening to those chapters of the week. Section 5.1. What is a variable? Variables are really the gateway between arithmetic and algebra. A variable is a number quantity whose value is not specified. It can vary. It can be replaced by many different numbers. Here's an example. Say your favorite bookstore website charges a fixed $8 shipping charge on any order. So the total cost is the cost of the book, that's a variable, plus $8 shipping, that's called a constant. So for example, if the book costs $38, and the shipping is always $8, then the total is 38 plus 8. In that case, the value of the variable is 38, the variable being the cost of the book. Got it? Good. Section 5.2. Expressions containing variables, geometry formulas, and laws of arithmetic. In the last example, the total price of your order is really an expression. It was one variable plus one constant. There are all kinds of expressions you could have. For example, if a variable has a name, like length or width, then an expression such as length times width is a formula for the area of a rectangle. We had some basic geometry formulas on the last show in Math for the Masses. Most of the time, it's convenient to give a short name or letter to your variable. For example, in the previous problem, the cost of our book could be B for book, and then the shipping cost could be either S for shipping or 8, since we know the cost of the shipping is $8. The expression for the total price would be B plus 8. Here are some laws of arithmetic. For example, the commutative law states that you can add 2 numbers in either order. 5 plus 4 equals 4 plus 5. In general, you can write variables for this. A plus B is equal to B plus A. Now, is it true that A minus B equals B minus A? No, it's not. One answer is the negative of the other. What's another expression that has this commutative property? That's right, it's multiplication. 7 times 11 is the same as 11 times 7. We don't even need to know the answer to know that they're the same. Other operations, such as division and exponentiation, are highly non-commutative. There's another law called the distributive law. This can be written as A times the quantity B plus C is equal to A times B plus A times C. Remember to do those multiplications first. Section 5.3, Evaluating Expressions and the Prime Code. To evaluate an algebraic expression means to put in a value for the variable. This is also called substitution. For example, the expression x squared plus 5 means take a number, multiply it by itself, and then add 5. If you evaluate this at x equals 3, you'd have 3 squared plus 5, 9 plus 5 is 14. Not every expression can be evaluated everywhere. For example, the square root of r, if r is equal to negative 5, is not a real number, so it doesn't evaluate to anything. Okay, now I'll let you in on a little secret, Dan's secret prime code. What you do is you write down the alphabet A through Z. This is the American alphabet, 26 letters. Then underneath you write down the first 26 primes, 2, 3, 5, and so on, the 26th prime being 101. Now for every word or name, my name is Dan, D-A-N. You take the three primes that correspond to those letters, 7 times 2 times 43. You multiply them together because DAN in algebra, when you put letters together in an expression, it means you're multiplying them. So 7 times 2 times 43 is equal to 602. That's my name. Don't wear it out. Section 5.4, Applications, Translating Word Phrases into Expressions. As a math teacher, I find it kind of amusing that everybody says, what are we ever going to use this stuff for? But they also say, why do we have to do all these word problems? Well, word problems is exactly what you use this stuff for. So let's take a look at how to translate word phrases into mathematical form. Suppose someone tells you that to find the perimeter of a rectangle, you double the sum of the length and width. What does that mean? Well, you have to look for key words. In this case, the words double and sum. Now, the sum of the length and the width would be L plus W, if you give them single letter names. Double that would mean twice. So you multiply 2 times the quantity L plus W. When you write this down, you have 2 and then parentheses L plus W, closed parentheses. There's your expression. Homework problem of the week. Find the value of the expression 5x minus x squared if x is equal to negative 3. As always, I'll have the solution on the next show. After this short break, we'll be back with Mathematics for the Masses.
Do you need to improve your math skills, but are just too cheap or poor to hire a tutor? Then go to www.dansmath.com. That's DANSMATH.com. You'll find free lessons from arithmetic and algebra to calculus and beyond. Check out Dan's feature pages on supercomposite numbers, nested circles, and more. For a real challenge, enter Dan's Problem of the Week contest and browse through over 200 old puzzles in the archives. Read about Dan's textbook, Pre-Algebra, co-written with me, Patty Leitner. And now, back to our show.
Now the answer to last week's homework problem. Find a right triangle whose sides are three whole numbers in the 20s. From the Pythagorean theorem, if the sides are a, b, and c, then a squared plus b squared equals c squared. Make a list of the perfect squares. 20 squared is 400, 21 squared is 441, and 29 squared is 841. So the triangle is 20 by 21 by 29. Right on! Mathematics for the Masses. It's time for our feature, Mathematics for the Masses. We're going to be talking about GCDs, greatest common divisors, and LCMs, least common multiples. These have a lot of interesting applications in the real world, and besides, they're mathematically interesting. Now, if you had a 4-meter by 6-meter kitchen, and you wanted to tile it with square tiles, what's the biggest size tile you could use? You could tile the whole thing with 24 1x1 tiles, but 4 and 6 are both even, so you could use 2x2 tiles. 2 is the biggest number that goes into both 4 and 6. Making lists of divisors, 1, 2, and 4 go into 4, 1, 2, 3, and 6 go into 6, the largest number common to both lists is 2 again. Now let's look at the prime factors. 6 is equal to 2 times 3, and 4 is equal to 2 times 2. There's your common factor of 2. For larger numbers, like let's say 60 and 96, how would we find the greatest common divisor? Each of these numbers actually has 12 divisors, so it might take a little too long to write them all out. So let's go to the prime factorization method. 60 is 2 times 2 times 3 times 5, and 96 is 2 to the 5th times 3, or 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 times 3. Did I get it right? Now, what's common to both lists? It's 2 times 2 times 3, which is 12. So 12 is the GCD of 60 and 96. In terms of fraction work, if you had the fraction 60 divided by 96, you could divide top and bottom by the GCD 12. 60 divided by 12 is 5. 96 divided by 12 is 8. So 60 96ths is equivalent to 5 eighths. It's true. The least common multiple, called the LCM, is the smallest number that both numbers go into. Now, I noticed when I was at the store shopping for a barbecue that hot dogs come in packages of 10, but hot dog buns come in packages of 8. What's up with that? I wanted to buy packages so that we would have the same number of hot dogs as hot dog buns. The least common multiple of 8 and 10 is 40, so that means I had to invite 40 people. Let's look at the prime factor method. 8 is 2 times 2 times 2, and 10 is 2 times 5. We need a number that contains both of those factorizations, so you have to use 2 times 2 times 2 times 5. That's 40. What do you know? Homework problem of the week. For next time, find the greatest common divisor and also the least common multiple of the numbers 385 and 1001. I'll have the answer to this and more in the next episode of Mathematics for the Masses. Now the answer to the problem from the last show. Find a rectangle with perimeter 50 feet and area 144 square feet. The perimeter is twice the sum of the length and width, and the area is the product of the length and width, so we want two numbers whose sum is 25 and whose product is 144. By my calculations, that's 16 by 9. There you go. It's a classic HDTV ratio. DMQA. Once again, it's time to dip into Dan's math email bag and see what's up. You can always send me mail at podcast@dansmath.com. Here's our first question. I'm hoping Patty Leitner will read it for us. Will you do that, Patty?
I sure will, Dan. On September 14th, 2004, Teresa wrote in, "Hi, Dan. I'm trying to help my brother out with some math problems, and I don't remember how to do them, so I'm hoping for your help. He is given two roots, such as 4 plus the square root of 6 and 4 minus the square root of 6, and he is told to find the quadratic equation for these roots. How do I go about doing that? Thanks for your help. Have a great day."
Thanks, Teresa. As I recall, September 14th, 2004 was a great day. So thanks for writing. The idea is this. If r is the root of a polynomial f of x, meaning f of r equals 0, then x minus r is a factor of f of x. Let's take a look at what this means. Suppose that I have a polynomial x squared minus 5x plus 6, then when I put in x equals 2, 2 squared minus 5 times 2 plus 6 is 0. That means f of 2 equals 0, and you can check that x minus 2 is a factor. X squared minus 5x plus 6 is really x minus 2 times x minus 3. Check it by using FOIL. Now in your case, the two roots are 4 plus square root of 6 and 4 minus square root of 6. So the polynomial factors corresponding will be x minus 4 plus root 6 times x minus 4 minus root 6. By the difference of squares, this is x minus 4 quantity squared minus square root of 6 quantity squared. So our equation is x squared minus 8x plus 16 minus 6, which is x squared minus 8x plus 10 equals 0. You can check this is right by applying the quadratic formula. I love these problems. Next question.
Thanks, Dan. On February 11th, 2004, Melissa wrote, "Help! When I take a test in math, my mind goes blank, and I have no idea what to do. I'm good in class, but not when it comes to tests. I'm in the sixth grade, and it is almost time to take the big test, and I need help fast."
Okay, well, settle down a little bit, Melissa, and relax. Oh, that was Patty. But that is a common problem. Mostly, if you can be confident, you can answer most of the questions, if not all of them. That'll help you relax. Remember, in a lot of cases, 80% is a B. That's pretty realistic, even if you're worried. I'd say practice doing the type of problems you might get on the test in a quiet room with your book closed. That way you can feel the test environment more, and it won't be as different when you get there. This answer also takes care of our study secret of the week. I guess Melissa's in the 8th grade now. Hope she took my advice.
Toss-up question of the week.
Now it's time for our toss-up question, which I'll answer on the next show.
On September 15th, 2005, JazzyGirl14 wrote, "I've been trying to do this problem all day. Any help you can give me would be great. The Apex Toy Company's monthly sales are seasonal. The peak is December at $100,000, and the lowest point is June at $20,000. Write a function, S equals F of T, which could represent the dollar sales of this company in any month T, where January is T equals 1. What would you expect the sales to be in early April?"
Toss-up question from last time.
"The product of any three consecutive whole numbers is divisible by 6. Is this true or false? Explain."
That statement is true. Every other number is even, so it's divisible by 2, and out of those three numbers, one of them is divisible by 3. 3 times 2 is 6.
Patty, you've read a bunch of math questions. What are you going to do next?
I'm going to go vote for Dan's Mathcast over at PodcastAlley.com.
Hey, this is your podcaster, Dan. If you haven't been to dansmath.com yet, shame on you. There's a Problem of the Week contest, and I just put up my 239th problem. I've had hundreds of contestants entering for several years. This is my 9th season. This week's problem came to me in an email. I'm sitting inside of a big square. I'm 3 meters from one corner, 4 meters from another corner, and 5 meters from a third corner. Can you tell how big the square is? I dare you to enter my Problem of the Week contest anytime. You can also visit my podcast blog page, where I'm putting up some show notes at dansmath.libsyn.com. That's L-I-B-S-Y-N if you're keeping score.
Mathematics Hall of Fame.
I always tell my students, math is not a spectator sport, but I still think it deserves a Hall of Fame. Our very first inductee into the Math Hall of Fame is the great Archimedes. Archimedes comes to us from Syracuse, Sicily. He was the son of an astronomer, and he lived in the 200s BC. He was a mechanical wizard and an even greater pure mathematician. He developed a method of writing huge numbers. He developed many principles of physics, including levers, pulleys, and the displacement of water. Archimedes was able to approximate the number pi very closely by drawing polygons with many sides approximating circles. One day during a religious celebration, the people of Syracuse were out of town, and a Roman soldier came upon Archimedes and ordered him to stop drawing these polygons in the sand. When Archimedes refused, the soldier killed him. Another tragic story in the conflict between science, religion, and the military. Well, that's it for
Mathematics Hall of Fame.
And now here's a little bonus audio. Just yesterday I was giving my algebra class a group problem. It sounded so great with them working together and talking about math, I recorded a little bit of it for you guys. So have a listen.
Advanced topic of the day.
Our advanced topic on the 5th Dan's Mathcast is Introduction to Group Theory. This is a beautiful subject and has implications in all kinds of areas of mathematics. First, a definition. A group is a set of objects, elements of the group, with a basic operation that acts between two elements and gives you a third element. This operation has to be associative, it has to have an identity element, and every element has to have an inverse. The associative law is the one I didn't get to in today's chapter 5 of the textbook. This states that for the operation of multiplication, AB times C is equal to A times BC. The group has to have an identity element E such that E times A equals A times E equals A for every A, leaves it alone in other words, and an inverse for every element, A inverse, such that A times A inverse is equal to E. Here's an example.
Suppose we take the set of integers and the operation of addition. Now the identity element is 0, and the inverse for each element A is minus A. That's a group. Associativity is inherited from the property of integers. Another example is the set of positive real numbers and the operation of multiplication. In this case, 1 is the identity element, and the inverse of any element A is 1 over A. How about the set of integers mod n? This is the set of numbers 0, 1, 2, 3, up to n minus 1, with the operation of addition. For example, mod 10, 3 plus 8, which is 11 usually, is 1 mod 10. That's the remainder when you divide by 10. This is a group under addition. It's actually called a cyclic group because it's generated by multiples of one element. If the operation is multiplication, you say that a group is generated by powers of one element. Another famous group is the set of permutations of n elements. This is a group under composition of functions, which we talked about on the last podcast, and the order of the group, the number of elements of S sub n, which is the set of permutations on n elements, is actually n factorial. For example, S3 is the set of permutations on 3 elements, say 1, 2, and 3. This is the same as the set of symmetries of an equilateral triangle. Rotations and reflections, operations that leave the triangle in the same position as you started. As with all function compositions, this operation is not commutative. In other words, the order matters. Think about a triangle. Let's let A equal the operation of flipping about a vertical axis, so you just switch left and right. And let's let B equal the operation of 120-degree clockwise rotation. If you do A and then B, you don't get the same result as if you do B and then A. I'm just going to make you try this with your own triangle, okay? This is a self-service theorem. The study of abstract groups was one of my very favorite in college. I even put it on my oral exam syllabus and let the professors grill me about it. I can remember it well, cramming for 8 months for my oral exams. Good times. For a lot more information, I suggest going to mathworld.wolfram.com and searching for group theory. You can Google them if you like. I'll be back next time with another advanced topic. Any suggestions, email me at podcast@dansmath.com. Challenge problem of the week. Suppose you roll 3 standard fair dice. What's the probability that the total on the top of the dice is a prime number? If you have any interesting problems of your own, send them in at podcast@dansmath.com. I'll be back next time with the answer to that question, and just to prove it... Challenge problem from last time. A census taker rings Mr. Simpson's bell and asks how many children he has. 3 daughters is the reply. Well, how old are they in whole numbers? Asks the census taker. Well, I'll tell you this. The product of their ages is 72, and the sum of their ages is my house number. But that isn't enough information, complains the census taker. Okay, my oldest daughter in years likes chocolate milk, replies Mr. Simpson. With that, the census taker nods and writes down the 3 ages. How old are the Simpson girls, and how did the census taker figure it out? Like I said, this is one of my all-time favorite problems. Pause the show if you want to think about this one, or replay the problem. The idea is that you can write down all possibilities of the 3 ages of the daughters. 1, 1, 72, 1, 2, 36, and so on. You can see all 12 possibilities on problem of the week number 4 on my website. Now, among the 12 sums of the daughters' ages, the only one that's repeated is 2 plus 6 plus 6 equals 14, and 3 plus 3 plus 8 equals 14. When the census taker says, that's not enough information, that means the house number has to be 14. So, my oldest daughter likes chocolate milk means there is an oldest daughter, and the solution is 3, 3, and 8, not 2, 6, and 6 with the 6-year-old twins without an oldest daughter. Wow. All the information is in the line, there isn't enough information. This, folks, is a classic. Math joke of the week. Why do computer scientists get Halloween and Christmas mixed up? Because oct 31 equals des 25. Octal and decimal, get it? I mean October and December, get it? And if you don't like my jokes, send me some of your own.
Well, that's it for show number 5. Once again, thanks a lot for listening. Stay subscribed, and if you really love me, go vote for me at podcastalley.com. I'll see you next time. This has been another edition of Dan's Mathcast.